The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Taz and the Moose, coast to coast, pillar to post, on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, a good Monday morning to one and all. Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike, Sam, thank you across the way. Bogus, your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A good Monday to one and all. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bud?
Oh, good, Moose. I hope your weekend was splendid and all of our listeners. Yeah, it went great, huh? That's awesome.
Good for you. Yeah, it was a good weekend.
Mine was fair to Midland. But a busy sports weekend, and we're going to cover it all right here on Taz and the Moose, baby.
Yeah, we are. A lot to get into, certainly. Ryan Wilson will join us a little later on the program. Look forward to that conversation. Covers the National Football League. A friend of the show has joined us a number of times since this show has launched, Taz, and we begin with what was the stunning news over the weekend, which was, you know, I was up at Saratoga, my dad and I annual trip up there to Saratoga for Travers weekend, Friday,
nice.
Saturday, and Sunday,
nice.
And, you know, having a good time hanging out with my dad and stuff like that.
That's
and
cool.
Get back to the, you know, hotel on Saturday night after what was a great day of racing at the old race course, and was stunned, absolutely stunned. After dinner, stunned to see the news come in, check the Mets score. They're tied up at 5 at that time with the Atlanta Braves. Then flip over to ESPN to check on the college football game between Miami and Florida at that stage, and see the Schefter report on the scroll underneath, breaking news that Andrew Luck is retiring from the National Football League, and could not believe it. I mean, just had it one of those ones where he had to do a double take and hopped on social media on Twitter at that stage to make sure exactly what I saw, my eyes were not deceiving me,
was exactly true.
And yes, it is indeed true at 29 years of age that Andrew Luck was done with the NFL and done playing quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts after what was a comeback player of the year season a year ago, in which he threw, 39 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Now dealing with the calf strain, high ankle sprain, and still being in pain that he was done with all the rehab, done with the pain, done with the constant work with medical officials to try and get back on the football field. And he wanted to step away, and not just step away, but retire from playing quarterback in the National Football League. I mean, groundbreaking, stunning, earth-shattering news. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, a huge loss for the Indianapolis Colts, a huge loss for the National Football League, and a huge loss for football fans that enjoyed watching Andrew Luck play football collegially at Stanford and over the course of seven injury-plagued seasons, but with 7 years with the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I too was extremely surprised. I was at my brother-in-law's house. We were having a barbecue, and yeah, when we were hanging out, there was TV on in the background outside. It was outdoor TVs. And I know we watched the Yankee game a little bit, then we watched the Met game at 7. I think it's right around now. I don't remember the exact time that the Luck news dropped. It was right around there, like 6:30 p.m. Eastern-ish, 6 p.m., whatever, somewhere in that dinner time range. And I was shocked. I was like, wow. And I went right on my phone, like you, and I looked on social media. I looked on Twitter and just to make sure it was correct. And sure enough, the tweets start coming in from every single account. You know, everything, you know, big sports, people who cover sports. So I was like, wow, this was a shocker, too. I mean, we know that he's been banged up like crazy. You and I have talked about Andrew Luck and, you know, is he injury prone and everything. Just last week, we've talked about him a lot. Last year, right, when he came back, I was saying, there's no way he's coming back next year. You were like, no, he will. You were right. I was wrong. He did come back. He had a good year, you know. And then the whole thing with the calf and the high ankle, like you just said, I'm shocked. Yeah, and for such a young guy and such a great player and when healthy, as you know, he's great, Moose. It just was great. I guess you guys say in past tense now. I mean, but he's been banged up a lot, and so that takes a toll on you, and rehab takes a toll on you. But young guy, you know, for making so much money, you know.
Yeah, and he was done, and you know I guess the first layer to the story is the report by Schefter, right, where the plan was is that Luck and the Colts, and he had conversations over the course, I guess, 2 weeks ago. He said last week and a half, 2 weeks. Was when he first started, you know, started thinking about retiring. When he was, when his ankle / calf was not getting better, and he was still in a tremendous amount of pain. So the plan was to have, I think it was a 3 o'clock Eastern time press conference on Sunday afternoon to announce the retirement of Andrew Luck. So the first layer to the story is the report by Adam Schefter, which I don't blame Schefter at all. That is his job. Some said, maybe he should have held it. His job in covering the National Football League and being a guy that's in the know, breaking stories, whether it be Antonio Brown, whether it be now Andrew Luck or whatever it might be, and Schefter does a remarkable job. You know, I don't blame him. I think he did the right job. And his job in reporting the story on Saturday night, that is his job. I would not have held the story. His job there is what he finds out information, and he knows that information to be true. His job there is to report it.
It's a tough one for me. I mean, I can't argue what you're saying. It is his job. You are correct. And, you know, he gets paid a lot of money, and he does a great job. There's no doubt about it. I follow his account. Most of us in the industry, why wouldn't you follow his account? He does for this reason. He breaks news. And he's, I don't know percentage, but he's usually right. So his sources are really good sources. I just think this one's a little tough for me to swallow. I mean, if I knew Adam Schefter, would I be pissed at him? No. If I was Luck, I might be pissed at him. But because this is something that it's a massive announcement that should come from the player. Looking at it as an athlete, I'm just saying this obviously was something that he's talked with his family about and his team, his coaches about, Andrew Luck, and somehow.
Well, he didn't talk to his team about it.
That's why I said his coaches. I didn't say his team.
Because
Frank Reich knew about it about a week and a half ago.
Right.
Right. So just the point is, it's. I understand the guy Schefter, his job is to get it out there, but I'm just saying, this is big that this kid's career ended and he's going to make this announcement. I do think there's a way that Adam Schefter could have put something out saying that he has some information that's whatever. It's tough to even paraphrase off the top of my head. Something teasing that he knows something and that something's going to come from Andrew Luck or reach out to Andrew Luck. Something. I understand the guy's a job, Moose. You're not wrong about that. I agree with you on that. But for me, I'm a little bit on the fence on that. I got to be honest.
I would be more critical of those that were in the know. It was an inner circle of Irsay, Reich, Ballard, the general manager. I don't know exactly who else was part of that inner circle. I'm sure they kept that tight in terms of these conversations that Luck had. Luck had multiple conversations with Jim Irsay, the owner, over the course of the last week and a half or 2 weeks. I'd be more critical of the person then that leaked that information out to Adam Schefter than I would be for Schefter for doing his job.
It's tough to find who that we call it in the rest of business, call that a stooge. Okay, yeah. It's tough to find out who the stooge is. I mean, that's the thing.
Oh, but you're never going to find out. But my point being is I think
they're more
in the wrong than Schefter doing his job. That's his job is to find the information and report it.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, and I get it. It's a tricky scenario to where then you're having a press conference by Luck. We'll play the comments, and then you're having Irsay, Ballard, and Reich meet with the media as well late on Saturday night, and they wanted to bring out and do it what they consider to be the right way on Sunday afternoon and be able to control the message a little bit more than they did on Saturday night. So you had that layer. Then you had the strange situation of when the story did break, Taz, of Andrew Luck walking off the field in Indianapolis as the throngs of media and photographers are surrounding him.
Yeah.
And he is getting booed by some Indianapolis Colts faithful out there at Lucas Oil Stadium. Now, you know, I know everyone has, you know, hot takes and everything in terms of the Colt fan. I think, from my perspective anyway, I don't have any issue with the Colt fan emotionally at that stage, feeling let down and bothered by the Luck scenario. It's not that they hate Andrew Luck. It's a case of the disappointment of their season being so hopeful of being a playoff team. They're thinking about fans are passionate.
I don't want to put. Hell, let me stop you. Yeah. So are you saying that you're okay with them booing him?
I am not overly critical of the fans booing him.
Right.
I'm really not.
Well, we agree to disagree then, I guess.
That's fine.
I think it's absolutely asinine that a grown man or woman would act like that when another adult, his career or her career has to end due to injury or due to can't go, they don't want to deal with the stress and what their family goes through the whole rehab process, which this guy's been through a litany of injuries at a young age, and what kind of chronic pain he might be in. I live in chronic pain. Okay, I live in chronic pain.
No, I understand
that. From a business that's supposed to be fake. Okay, I live in chronic pain every night. Every night I wake up around 1:30 in the morning with my arm numb and my leg numb, and it wakes me up. And I got to walk around my bed a little bit and then lay back down.
Okay? Taz, the fan is not thinking about that.
But that's right. And I'm here to tell the fan. That's why it's asinine, ridiculous, and selfish.
Yeah, I can't.
Let me finish, please. To boost somebody. When they're in a physical industry, no matter how much money they make, and they have to leave because their body and their mind and their family and the stress, it can't go on. It's selfishness. It's not living the game, and that's why people boo. They don't understand it, and they never will.
It's being a fan.
It's being selfish.
It's being a fan. You want fans to be passionate.
You're putting a fan in a box. Not all fans are like that.
A lot of fans are.
A lot aren't. Most of them didn't boo.
But some did. And the idea. But the point being, but Taz, I give you your chance. Let me speak.
Let me speak. You got 3 hours to speak, bro. You got 3 hours to speak.
Taz, here's the deal. Here's the deal from my perspective. I understand.
Got to talk all day. Yeah, I'll shut my
mic. No, I don't need you to shut your mic, but we're going to have a back. You're giving the fan, at that stage, reading that a guy is retiring from the NFL 2 weeks before the start of the NFL regular season, without seeing a press conference, without seeing the emotion, without seeing any of that. You know, I think in terms of being overly critical of the fans that had the gut reaction of booing, to me, I find to be kind of comical. The idea that an Indianapolis Colts fan that booed should never root for the Indianapolis Colts again, that you're not a true fan of the Indianapolis Colts, I think is utter and complete nonsense.
No, I agree with you on that.
Those are some of the reactions that you got. How dare you boo Andrew Luck? How dare you do this? How dare you do that? It's not a case. I'm not critical of Andrew Luck's decision. You know, he has every right at 29 years of age being financially secure for the rest of his life to do whatever he wants to do. I'm going to miss watching Andrew Luck play quarterback in the National Football League. I'm not telling you if I was in Indianapolis on Saturday night that I would choose to boo Andrew Luck. I'd be more in shock than anything else that his career was over. But that's where you get to the point of the person, the trickle-down effect that leaked the story to Adam Schefter. Schefter then reports it. It gets put out there. Everyone on social media understands it. He all of a sudden gets word. He shuffled off of the field to head back to the locker room to try and gain control of the situation. And boos rained down. Some boos rained down at Lucas Oil Stadium. I mean, you know, I'm not one here to sit here and say how dare you for a fan that feels disappointed that Andrew Luck is retiring from the NFL, that Andrew Luck is no longer going to play quarterback after 7 years, after he throws 39 touchdowns a year ago. I don't think they're thinking about the pain that he's in. I don't think they're thinking about any of that. They're just being a fan. I mean, that's all. I'm not saying that I would never have done it, but I'm also not going to go out there and rip and tell fans, how dare you, boo them.
Well, I didn't say to anybody, how dare them. What I'm saying is I think that for someone to react like that, unless they're sitting in a stadium and they're bombed drunk on a stack of beers, okay, then maybe you're not in your right mind and you're acting like a fool. Okay, or maybe, you know, maybe it's a bunch of teenage kids that are just, you know, horsing around with their friends and then they heard and they're booing Andrew Luck. But I think that for argument's sake, if you're a mom or a dad and you're there and you have kids, like the age of your kids, like young kids, little kids, you know, and they're at the game with their parents And now you're booing a player and like, hey, mommy, daddy, why are you booing Andrew Luck? And then you tell him, well, he can't play no more. He says he's not playing no more, you know, because he was hurt. You know, that, well, I don't know what kind of a parent would do that. Let's just say it's a parent who did that. As far as being a fan, I've said it with wrestling fans, sports fans, it don't matter. You pay the bills at the end of the day. You're entitled to boo, cheer. I'm not saying they're not entitled to boo. They can boo anybody they want. They can cheer anybody they want. I'm not begrudging them that. What I'm saying is it's for someone to do that, to have the kind of gall to boo a guy or a girl who can't compete anymore or doesn't want to compete anymore because of the reasons that we've been discussing. I think that's just ridiculous. I do. I'm not saying they're not entitled to do that, and I'm not saying you would do that, but I'm saying, like, first, I can't wrap myself around to put them over on the radio, on TV, on a podcast, and say, well, you know what? Hey, I understand why they're mad. That part I don't get. That part I can't understand.
Well, it's an emotional fan base.
I'm an emotional fan, too, of my teams. And when a good player on a team I root for gets injured, I don't act like that. And I'm emotional for my teams, well, and I'm passionate about my teams.
But let's go. I mean, he's injured. They're not booing an injury on the field. It's not like Andrew Luck is getting carted off the field and they're booing. He's walking off the field of his own volition. He is dealing with a calf and a high ankle sprain because there is a difference. I mean, you know, yes, he's banged up. He's hurt. He doesn't want to do it anymore, which is his God-given right. The Indianapolis Colts fans just saw their season go up in flames.
Well, maybe not.
Well, I mean,
they got a real good defense. You know that. Well, they got a good offensive line.
He threw 39 touchdowns. As much as people like Jacoby Brissett, I'm not telling you that Jacoby Brissett can't play the quarterback position. Taz, you know this. He's a generational talent at the quarterback spot. So they just saw their year go up in flames. If you had the initial reaction to be disappointed and to boo a guy walking away at that stage before the pressure is even had. See, you know, you don't get the chance to see the emotion of Andrew Luck. That's after that reaction. You don't get to see any of that if you're a Colt fan. All you see is the initial report by Schefter and then him shuffling off the field. And the reports by Schefter about him, not wanting to go through the rehab process and the fact that he wants to travel the world with his wife. And if you're a Colt fan and you spend your hard-earned money there to watch Andrew Luck play quarterback, I can understand. I'm not telling you it's right.
Right, right.
But I'm also not going to go out and, because I saw one person after another say, how dare they? They should never root for a football team again. You don't know the athlete. You don't know.
Well, I wouldn't say that part.
Well,
how dare you?
No,
that,
but that's ridiculous. But I did see that.
Well, I believe you.
That.
I believe
and listen, I understand Andrew Luck's in a lot of pain. I feel for Luck. I mean, I really do. But I also think that, you know, in hindsight, if they were able to see the Luck emotion and we'll play some of those cuts at the presser, I don't think they would ever have booed him. I think it's initial reaction. You're sitting there on a Saturday night. The last thing you're thinking about is, and I never thought it. I'm up in Saratoga, New York. You're at your brother-in-law's barbecue in Long Island. And, you know, if you're a Colt fan, you're showing up to that game. You're like, all right, Luck's banged up. Been there, done that. We'll see him hopefully week one of the NFL regular season. If not, maybe the first few weeks in the NFL regular season. And then poof, he's gone.
No, I know.
He's gone. And then if you're a Kofi, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing for Peyton Manning to finish off his career in Denver. Now after just 7 years, in which one season we didn't even have him. But after 7 seasons now, Andrew Luck is done in the National Football League. I can understand the disappointment. I'm going to tell you it's right, but I can understand it.
No, and I could, too. And I understand disappointment. And it gets to a point, though, where it's like I understand what you said earlier about being a fan. You know, there's good times and bad times about being a fan, too. And I'm just saying, like, for me, like, I don't know. I've been to a lot of events and sporting events as a fan. And I'm a Met fan. I've been through a lot of losing, and you know what I mean. So, and I don't boo. Like, I don't boo guys. I don't yell at guys. Like, I don't yell around. I don't know. I think most people, who've been in a pressure situation as a performer in some degree, an athlete or whatever, and I you understand how tough the job is. And you know their goal is to do well in that inning or on that play or whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever athlete. So I'm not into the whole – I mean, I'm a little different, though. I know that's part of what makes great sports, watching great sports. or when something happens and all the fans boo or something like that during the four play. That makes it fun, I know. I'm just one of those guys that kind of, I'm probably the most boring guy to go to a game with. I kind of just sit there and watch. I don't do nothing.
I'm not a booer. I'm not one that goes to games and need to boo disappointment and failure. I mean, but there when I was younger, you know, when I was 16, 17 years old,
and got disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'd drop a boo. I never booed an injury, never booed anything like that, but strike out in a bad situation, you're hanging out with your buddies, you're at a baseball game, hang out with my dad, of course. I mean, there are times where you'd boo. I mean, I wouldn't be over the top, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that comes with being a passionate, you know, at times passionate fan. Now, some team people take it out of control. Other people are hammered, as you mentioned, drunk, inebriated at a game, however you want to describe it, and they take it to a different level. I mean, some people are fighting with people in stands. I never did that. I never do that.
That's a whole different level.
Yeah, but, you know, there's different levels of fan reaction. I just, you know, I don't want to – I think some painted some Cole fans in – and they did not look great on Saturday night, but I'll also give them a little bit of a pass, Taz, for the fact that they've been a classy fan base. They've done a lot of things the right way. If they had one bad moment, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, frankly –
In a really, really bad spot.
Right. I understand. Well, we can agree to disagree, but frankly, I have a bigger problem, more than the Colts fans – I personally don't want to speak for you, but I don't want to give oxygen to some of the guys in the media that had all these hot takes and they're just trolling, you know, just to act like an ass, you know, and take shots at a guy, you know, because you want to get maybe 100 more Twitter followers, or you want to get a retweet, or you want to get someone to listen to your radio show later this afternoon or tonight or whatever. You know what I mean? Some of these guys, and I'm not looking to give them oxygen. You know,
I agree with you.
You know who I'm talking about. It's ridiculous. And it is. It's just to have that hot take and get that reaction and be the heel. Off of someone else's career when you don't even mean it. You're over there sitting ripping a guy, you know, and just to get people to maybe watch your TV show or listen to your radio show.
No, I don't disagree with you. I am more critical of them than I am the fans.
Me too. Me too. I agree with you on that.
I don't, because I think you're in a position of influence.
Right.
I think people, you know, and I get there's some people that are going to say things that they want people to react to. As a talk show host, I never say anything I don't believe. I'm never going to troll. I'm never going to tell you something that I wouldn't tell my wife or my dad, you know, talking about the sports or friends, whatever. Outside of doing this radio show. So I that's the way you go. I know that's the way you go as well, Taz.
Yes, for sure.
So I'm never going to be and say some of the stuff that I think people would be probably look back on it 4 or 5 months from now and say to themselves, I probably shouldn't have said that after the Luck retirement. And there was a lot of that on Saturday night.
Oh, God, it's crazy.
It was kind of, I guess, maybe it shouldn't be surprising in today's day and age. but it was a little surprising to me to see some of the stuff, whether it be he's a millennial or he doesn't want to go through rehab or he's quitting or he's doing this or he's doing that. Andrew Luck is in a position where the Indianapolis Colts as an organization did a terrible job of building a team around a franchise quarterback. They got cutesy with the players around them. They did not build up the offensive line. They did not protect the asset. He took unnecessary hits. I think one of the NFL guys that I followed went through the list of injuries that Andrew Luck had over the course of his 7-year career. I think it was a lacerated kidney, the shoulder surgery,
the concussion, at least one concussion,
broken cartilage in his ribs. I mean, you go up and down the line.
Labrum, the
shoulder surgery. Yep, yep. He's gone through a lot over the course of 7 years. I don't blame him. I mean, honestly, I don't blame him for stepping aside.
It's tough. It's tough. He's a young guy. Maybe he just wants to have quality of life. But I will say about the fan, I get what you're saying. And that just crossed my mind before when you were talking in your commentary. If you're a season ticket holder and you love Andrew Luck and that's why you bought those tickets, that could tick you off, but I do think you got to kind of take the high road in public, even if you're just a fan, even though you're ticked off. You know,
Yeah, I get we agree to disagree. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. You know, I look at it more a case of what was a tremendous loss. I look at it a little bit differently, and that's what makes our show great is that we come from different vantage points, different viewpoints. So we'll agree to disagree, but want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. CBS Sports Radio is toll-free live, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes can save 15% or more on your car insurance.
All right, everybody who's on hold, we'll get to you guys in a second. Andrew, we got a lot of people on hold here, so thank you, everybody, calling. We'll get to you. Everybody wants to talk about Andrew Luck.
Yep.
Andrew Boga, so welcome to Taz and Moose, sir.
Taz, Moose, thanks for having me. Marcus Mariota's tough summer continued last night in preseason game number 3. I promise it did.
Okay, that went well.
Hold on, stand by one more time. 3, 2, and 1. We'll fix this in post. Right. Marcus Mariota's tough summer continued last night in preseason game number 3.
Second down, 10. Mariota in the shotgun. Protector Lewis to his left, standing at his goal line. Wants to throw it. Has time. Now he's surrounded, and down he goes. And that sack is going to be a sack and a safety.
Oh, man.
Stephon to it.
The lesson here really is you guys need to talk more in unison. I don't know what catchphrases you want, but you need to come together and be like, and the three. Yeah. Or, you know, it's time for us. BCS. Nice. I need the two of you to come together.
Like in harmony.
Voices.
Yeah, it's one voice.
If you want to sing, I think that's next level, but at the very least, talk in stereo.
Maybe in a few seconds.
Thank
we'll
you,
try that
out.
Bill Hillgrove, Tunch Ilkin, Steelers Radio, Stephon Tuitt, sack of Mariota for the safety, started the scoring in rainy Nashville last night. Ben Roethlisberger tossed a TD pass to Juju Smith-Schuster on the ensuing possession. Mariota didn't return after the safety. Head coach Mike Vrabel didn't have an exact plan for Mariota's playing time last night, but had seen enough.
I think I wanted to see how the game was going. And at that point in time, I thought it was in the team's best interest and everybody's best interest that we get him out of the game at that point in time.
And it was a smart call because the Steelers didn't stop sacking Titans QBs. 7 total in an 18-6 win. Roethlisberger went 8 for 13, 63 yards, and that TD in his lone preseason appearance. Antonio Brown reportedly lost his second grievance with the NFL over his preferred helmet, but it appears he will win in the end because AB is reportedly close to having a custom-made helmet and a connected endorsement deal. The Patriots activated Josh Gordon yesterday. He went through his first full pad practice and could play Thursday against the Giants. An MRI has reportedly confirmed a torn ACL for Texans starting running back Lamar Miller, and Moose's Skins have named Case Keenum their starting QB. Let the wins begin.
Yes.
Florida State, as expected, going with James Blackman against Boise State this weekend, the redshirt sophomore QB winning a competition that included Wisconsin transfer Alex Hornibrook. After getting swept in Oakland, the Yankees, thankfully, bouncing back with a series win at Dodger Stadium.
Pitch swung on and hit in the air to right center field and deep. It is high. It is far. It is gone. A Judgian blast. His third home run of the series. He is getting hot.
That is, of course, John Sterling on Yankees radio. DJ LeMahieu, Mike Ford also took Clayton Kershaw deep in a 5-1 victory. Yankees starter Domingo Germán allowed only Jock Peterson's leadoff homer over 6 innings. Cleveland third baseman Jose Ramirez having surgery today for a broken bone in his right hand. We don't know yet when or if he returns this season. His team took a 9-8, 10-inning home loss from the Royals yesterday. They are now 3.5 games behind the Twins in the AL Central. Minnesota down Detroit yesterday 7-4. The Nets have given Caris LeVert an extension for his 25th birthday. It's reportedly 3 years and $52.5 million, and it begins next season. USA Basketball playing another tune-up in Australia as we speak. It's against Canada. They're in the second quarter. You'll have to find the score yourself because I didn't write it down before I came into the studio. 38-30, I'm told. The Americans lead the Canadians. This just in from CBS Sports Radio basketball insider Mike Bisceglia.
Okay,
the
you.
FedEx Cup and its $15 million check went to Rory McIlroy. A four-shot win over Xander Schauffele at East Lake in Atlanta. McIlroy and Tiger Woods, now the only golfers to win this more than once. And Louisiana beat Curacao 8-0 to win the Little League World Series yesterday. For the very first time for that state, American teams winning back-to-back titles for the first time since a five-year run ended back in 2009.
Nice.
Guys,
well done there, Andrew.
Hey, thanks, Moose.
Appreciate
my
job.
Pleasure,
you
guys.
Way to go, bud. Great job.
We're talking about Luck and the Colts. Yeah. The stunning announcement Saturday night out in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck, at 29 years of age, has decided to call it an NFL career.
Let's go out to Indiana, speak to Jareth, listening on radio.com. Hey, Jareth, what's up, man? You're on with Taz and Moose. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Jareth? What's going on, bud?
All right. You know, everybody's talking about how, oh my gosh, you know, the season's over, blah, 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 all that. You know, I've been a Colts fan for a long time, and, you know, I really don't see it that way. Yeah, it sucks. I hate it. I hate to see that Colts or the Andrew Luck is gone. However, I do understand it.
Right.
I mean, who wants to go through injury after injury and injury like that? I completely understand. He wants to live his life. He
right.
wants to enjoy his life.
Exactly.
But, you know, we have Jacoby Brissett, which, yes, he's not Andrew Luck. I'm not saying that by any means. He is I feel like he is a game management type of quarterback. You know, we got a good offensive line.
You got a real good offensive line and a real good defense.
Oh, yeah.
And a real good defense.
Oh, yeah. We got a great defense. We got great receivers right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got a good running game with Mac. And, you know, even if we don't do good at all, we have a pretty good draft class with quarterbacks coming up too.
Right. True.
So, I'm really not that worried about the future of this team. Like I said, it sucks, but I think there are brighter days ahead coming up for us.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not over. I mean, you know, you will rebound. You mentioned it. I mean, there's six really good college quarterbacks. You know, Herbert out of Oregon.
We appreciate the
probably
coach,
the top guy on that draft board. Going into, you know, next April's NFL draft. And, yeah, you got to see how the season does play out. I don't want to, though, minimize the impact. And we'll see what – there are some talent evaluators that think Jacoby Brissett could be a star of the National Football League. I saw Lewis Riddick tweet that out, who does a very good job on ESPN, that the Colts think very, very highly of him. We'll see. He's going to get his opportunity now to be that kind of a guy in Indianapolis. And Taz, we'll see just how good he is. It's difficult, though, when you have a guy in – you're right, there are other – the offensive line is good. You mentioned the defense, the ground game. But we all know how important the quarterback position is.
Of course.
It could look a lot different when you have a quarterback out there that's not throwing 39 touchdowns as Luck did a year ago.
Right. Well, Brissett did a good job stepping in for Tom Brady in New England, too, though. He did a pretty good job. But I agree with you on the quarterback spot, obviously. Let's go to Lima, Ohio. Talk to Matt. Listen to 93.1 FM. Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
Thank you,
what's
sir.
On your mind, bud?
First-time long-time.
Yeah, you guys make my morning. Every morning you make work a little more tolerable.
Thank you,
there you go.
Appreciate it.
I guess as a football fan, I mean, I'm not a Colts fan. I'm just a football fan. My team's the Bengals, so my quarterback issue is always there. I can't believe he waited till a week before the regular season. I feel like that's where a lot of the rage and the boos came from. I can't say they wouldn't have booed him, but if it would have happened earlier, I feel like he could have just gave them a little bit of a, you know, he kind of put him in a rough spot for the season.
If he knew he couldn't play anyway, I understand what you're saying publicly. He could have. You're saying he could have let the team know and the fan base know. I got that part, but you know, Luck probably realized that his body was failing and that he wasn't gonna be able to play for maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks hypothetically or the rest of the season because they didn't know. They remember that injury kept building each week a little bit more and more, like the Kevin Durant thing. It was like the same type thing. So. You know, I don't think, Matt, that you could put a time clock on when someone's body and their emotions get to a point where they just can't do the rehab and deal with this BS anymore. It's tough to, I understand the timing does stink for Colts fans and his teammates. I agree with you. But they've been going all camp with Bissett as the top guy, and he's been working with the ones. So I would think he's pretty much ready to go. And I know, to Moose, your point, yeah, Bissett, he's not Andrew Luck, and he's probably never going to be. I got that part. I do. I understand
that
part.
Well, I mean, I would just look at the timing of it, Matt, though, is you got to understand it's also a slow build. When's the perfect time? The perfect time would have been before free agency or the NFL draft. At that stage, Andrew Luck was, you know, he suffered the calf injury in, what, April, right? They didn't think it was going to be as significant as it turned out to be, where it developed into a high ankle sprain. So, you know, this is not a case of coming off a comeback player of the year season that Andrew Luck is all of a sudden going to call it a career. His body was healthy. He was feeling good. They had a playoff loss in Kansas City against the Chiefs. You know, that's not the stage. That would have been the perfect time if you're going to step away. He's not stepping away at that stage. And then he never thought that this injury would take as long as it did to rehab and come back. As he said on Saturday night, you know, they had conversations about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. The Colts were holding out hope that he would change his mind. They were holding out hope that over the course of time that he would say, you know what, I'm ready. You know, it was kind of, yeah. I was just frustrated. I want to come back. I want to play football again. So at that Matt, stage, there would not have been a perfect time. Even if it was 2 weeks ago, there would not have been a perfect time. The perfect time would have been months ago. And at that stage, Luck never anticipated his calf injury develop into the injury that it developed into.
That's my point. And Matt, we appreciate the call, but I understand you know what he's saying. I know you do too. I mean, and that's, I think, part of the stinging part for the Colts fans is that the timing of it. But
That's what I said on.
I know you didn't say it the first
Saturday
segment,
night.
Yeah. And you said it here.
I don't disagree. I mean, that's where the emotion runs deep. I mean, that's where it's tough on a lot of different levels. They boo because they love. I mean, that's it. They love watching them play. They're going to miss them. They want to see number 12 behind center. They're selfish.
That's what I'm saying. That's true.
But they are selfish, yeah. But also fans are, you know, they live, eat, and breathe football. They're a great sports town. Indianapolis is a great city, And the raw emotion at the time of seeing, from their perspective, all due respect to Jacoby Brissett, for their season to go up in flames, and for the fact that at 29 that Andrew Luck is stepping away, sometimes the emotions get the best of you.
Yeah, and the thing, you know what really ticks off athletes a lot, like really ticks off athletes, is when they feel like fans look at them just as a machine. You know, like they're not people. They don't have families. They don't have issues off the playing field. And they, you know, and that these are people. I understand they're big, true, major stars, but they have lives. They have, you know, this is their career, though, and they get paid a lot of money. So I understand the love of the athlete, but still, they do have families and they want to have quality of life.
Yeah, and like I mentioned earlier, I think it's tough for a fan sitting there to take all of that in the span of 15 minutes. I mean, I think you're asking a lot of the fans. But, I mean, that's the way I look at it. I mean, before he gets ushered off the field after the Schefter report. 855, want to hear from you. What's your take on everything that transpired Saturday night? We'll hear from Andrew Luck in the particulars at the presser on Saturday night out in Indianapolis as well, as the Colts star calls it a career at 29 years of age. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Taz Moose on a Monday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, time right now to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit your question, be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
They were talking a lot about Andrew Luck, who shocked the world over the weekend with his retirement at 29 years old as the Indianapolis Colts quarterback. A lot of people calling the show, thoughts and opinions about it. Do you like the way he did it? Do you think it's classy the way he did it? Do you think it's wrong that he did that? Unfair to his teammates and the fan base to do it right before the season starts. 855-212-4227. Let's go to West Virginia and talk to Buff. Buff, listening on 94.9 FM. Buff, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's going on?
Morning, gents.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I got to tell you what. Moose, I know as a longtime media member you're going to support him, but Adam Schefter was totally wrong in the way he pulled this off. You guys talk about somebody trying to get more burn for themselves. I think it was him on this. He could have handled this a lot better, and you wouldn't have had a lot of the booing. You wouldn't have had a lot of the stuff that you did. And then for him to show up on TV the next morning trying to play it off and blame it on Jacoby Brissett, I just think he comes out looking terrible in this whole thing.
You know, Buff, he's an information guy, though. What that's his job. His job is not to analyze games. His job is not to tell you whether or not a guy they had a good draft class or evaluate college talent. Or his job is to tell you what he knows about what's going on in the NFL. And did he not just do his job?
He did it. But as you well know as anybody else, there's different ways to do your job. And he could have handled it a lot better, especially for a quarterback that has given his all to his franchise and his city, deserved a lot better than what Schefter gave him.
Well, Buff, how exactly would you want Schefter have handled it then? Hold on to the info? Say if he holds on to the info and then Ian Rappaport reports it. Or holds on to the info and Jason Lockenfora reports it.
But
he decides not to do his job. Then he's getting paid a lot of money to report that story.
Right. But hang on a second. But here's the thing, Moose. And you're right. Okay, because these guys are competing against each other. And I understand that. But then it becomes about them, the reporters, and not this player who's the guy who's drawing the money. You know, and then the guy who has to hang up his cleats at 29 years old. Or, you know, so then it becomes more about him. Like I said earlier, I get your point, Moose. But I feel like Schefter could have put out information and tease that he has this information, but out of respect for the player, I don't know what the verbiage is because it would take some time to think of that verbiage if you're Schefter. There is a way to do it, to get it out there without causing the problems that it did cause, you know, for Andrew Luck, getting booed and stuff like that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't have an issue. I mean, Woj with the NBA, are we in essence? I mean, Schefter's doing his job. Everyone else makes him part of the story because he reported the story. Just like when guys report baseball trades, whether it be John Heyman, Ken Rosenthal, go up and down the line. I mean, every sport's got insiders. You look at Bob McKenzie with the National Hockey League. Darren, there's guys that know the inner workings of and what's going on and who's going to sign where.
Right.
I mean, because it doesn't it leads to what is quote unquote kind of a an uglier scene on Saturday night. You know, that's not Adam Schefter can't be thinking about that at that stage. He finds information out there that one of the great stars in the National Football League is deciding to call it a career.
Right.
You know, on a Saturday night, he finds out that information. He's supposed to then think about where Andrew Luck is and not do his job, what he's getting paid to do.
He's got the scoop, and he wanted to scoop those other guys, and he did. And then it made Luck look real bad. And the timing of it was real difficult. And by the way, side note, I know you were about to say that, aren't we in essence, this show, our team, members of the media, and aren't we? I can't speak for you, I tell you this, I come on this show here, I have zero sources in the sports game. I'm not coming with you. My opinions come from my instincts, my gut, my feeling as a fan, as a former athlete. I have no sources. So I don't put myself in these guys, they do a great job with the information they get. You went through a litany, a list of guys, and those guys are all credible reporters. I'm a little different the way I do my job, but that's not my job. That's what those guys do. You've been in the media game a lot longer than me, so you come from a different world than me, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean they just have a different tack. They're not coming, we're not going on as insiders to the National Football League. I mean, I do have people I know in all respective.
Well, you've been doing this a long time,
I do have sources around the different leagues, but sure. My job is not to break stories. I'm not there combing and making phone calls on a day-in, day-out basis to try and find out information. I'm not that kind of – that's not my job. That's not my intel. I don't know. I know it led to an ugly – I don't think Schefter's thinking about that time, and he's getting paid really handsomely.
A lot of money.
To find that news.
A lot of money.
And to report that news. And for ESPN to have that story. And if he doesn't do it, then he's not doing his job. And that's his job to go out there and do. We'll continue the conversation next. Has Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.